What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Balls, Sticks, and Fists. It's your favorite show without an intro, and we are live. Week 10 right ahead. We got a big episode planned for you guys today. Live on Spotify, live on YouTube. Sam, how you doing on this? What's today? Wednesday? Wednesday, yeah. October 30th.
It's the biggest game of the year for us.
Yeah.
Biggest week.
Yeah. But we'll get into that in a little bit. So let's just go through week 9 real quick. Let's just go through gambling, that, blah, blah, blah. We're going to give our top 12 teams right now. This isn't bracket-wise. This is just who we think is the top 12 best teams as we stand right before week number 10. Then we're going to go through... all right, I'm going to be blunt with you guys. There's only really two games that's worth a shit this week.
Yeah.
At least worth a shit, in my opinion. Worth a shit that I'm going to be putting my energy, focus, and...
I'd say the only other game that really could mean something is probably A&M South Carolina.
Yeah, and not to get too much into this week, but... 2.5's low. Like I was like really tempted to take Texas A&M minus the points right there.
It's almost like they keep like favoring this home crowd of South Carolina, but like once they keep losing, are you just gonna like say, okay, maybe they're just not that good?
It's like, all right, let's talk about South Carolina real quick. Beat the brakes off a terrible Kentucky team. All right. Almost beat LSU, okay. Almost beat Alabama, okay. What else have they done?
Lost to Ole Miss, like, blowout fashion.
Lost to Ole Miss, blowout fashion. Any signature wins?
Old Dominion.
Old Dominion, they beat Akron.
They just, they dog-walked Oklahoma, but Oklahoma's terrible.
Oklahoma, yeah, but that game was done within the first 30 seconds. 4 turnovers, 2.
The only thing that, like, you're coming off an emotional... comeback win like that in A&M, like it's just a spot for a downfall.
Yeah, but, yeah, I can see that, but if it was give me my shoes, if it was that guy, Wegman that train coming through. Wegman?
Yeah.
If he was at Connor quarterback Wegman. Still, I'd lean towards South Carolina a little bit more, but this character at a quarterback that they brought in out of the bullpen, that Reed character.
I mean, he's the one who won versus Florida, like, easily at Florida. I don't know why they put Wegman back in.
Yes. All right, let's not get too into it. So, last week, 2-3, I thought it was going to be great. I mean, all right, let's just start off. On Thursday, I had Pitt minus 6.5 for Syracuse. Beat the dog breaks off Syracuse. No sweat. McCord, what was it? 4 or 5 picks?
Yeah. I mean, three pick sixes.
3 pick sixes. I will say this about Pitt. We'll get into this a little bit. I'm kind of worried about this offense.
Yeah. What's going on with them?
They have not looked – the offense has not looked good the past couple of weeks. Like, they've been able to get away with it, but I'm – like, it is – it's weird to me, look, I'm no coach. I'm no professional. None of that. To me, it looks like Eli's not throwing with any, like, anticipation at all. That's what it looks like to me on just watching the games. Like, to me, he's like, wait until, like, they're completely wide open. And by the time he throws it, it ain't open anymore. Because the one thing about good quarterbacks, good offensive play is quarterbacks can throw receivers open.
Yeah.
There's a difference between throwing a receiver open and throwing it when it's covered. Those are two different things. But to me, he's throwing.
Like, after they make their break and stuff.
Yeah, he's throwing too late. And there's one thing about you never want to throw late. Especially to the outside, which he's thrown picks to the outside late many times. Kent State,
UNC, North Carolina, yeah,
should have been one against Dovey. Like, and these are all like long returns. Like Kent State, like took it back all the way to plus territory. UNC housed it. WVU should have housed theirs if the DB would have, like, he threw a pick against Syracuse, but it got called back for roughing the passer. It's like this this offense, like, I just want them to click, but it's not clicking, and I'm going to keep on saying it. I don't like the run game in this Cade Bell offense.
Well, they really didn't have many chances with all the pick sixes.
Yeah, so yeah, like there was no chance to get in rhythm, but even the past couple of weeks, I haven't been liking that aspect of the offense.
It feels either. Like they like they're undefeated and they're kind of like sleepwalking. Maybe they just get up for this game this week.
It's tough, dude. Like obviously, well, the thing is, so they went like by UNC, by Syracuse. So they only played like two games this month.
Yeah.
So it's kind of it's kind of
tough, a long break now too.
Yeah, so it's kind of tough to get in a rhythm, I think, when you're not out there on the field. But yeah. I'm kind of worrisome about the defense has been, they're flying right now.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Like I thought after the first few weeks we were like, this is one of the worst defenses. Like,
yeah, they got Fitzpatrick's back from injury and he's been great on the D lines. They've been great at stopping the run and it's they're just causing chaos, I guess. UNLV money line plus 138 did not hit. I mean, what a rough show to end that out. Thought I had it. I mean, they did a great job of containing Genty as much as you can. I think he had like 34 carries for like one something. I mean, that's pretty good defensive showing. I mean, I was really impressed with Boise State's quarterback. I was not familiar with his game, shall I say. he did not show me that against Oregon when I watched him. So, and that was the last Boise State game I watched. Kind of was completely wrong about the weapons terminology I used last week, saying that UNLV has more ways to win than Boise State. Completely off the mark on that. But total rush show.
It's so hard to like rate these teams though. Like,
yeah, whenever they go up against the P5 or P4, and then whenever they're in conference, yeah, it's like two completely different teams. Total rough show, though. I still think UNLV should have won. Terrible, terrible blindside block call. Terrible pass holding, defensive holding call. And UNLV just never got the ball back. I mean, what a shame. I mean, and then my cash cow, Indiana, came through -6.5 versus Washington. Never a doubt. Hopefully they get work back this week because I am... I hope work comes back, though, because, of course, not going to say anything. You can bet who I'm betting on. No pun intended. LSU moneyline plus 114. I mean, dude, I thought this was an easy cash in, like, the first half. Neusheimer, I was, oh, man. And then three picks in the second half. And I was like.
That's what happens when you can't run the ball at all and just rely on the pass.
Yeah, it's whatever. Let's not talk about it. SMU -11.5. I mean,
I don't think they're that great either, though. Like, I think
they've turned over the ball. I think they've turned over the ball 7 times in the past 2 weeks or something like that.
And what does Pitt do recently?
I know they forced turnovers. So like, we'll get into that in a little bit. So I moved from 37-22 to 39-25. You were 29-30-2 going into the weekend. You are now 33-34-2.
Same record. I mean, basically.
Yeah.
I had SMU as well. I mean, were they covering like once late in the third?
I think they might have been up late. Or like 14. Whatever. Yeah, but I'll be honest. I didn't turn on that game till later.
I mean. I started off the day terrible, and then I just kind of, like, almost slept the night's late.
Yeah, you kind of pulled some voodoo, and it went on, and I, yeah, it's all good.
Penn State -6.5, I did end up, like, hammering Penn State, just because, I don't know, I got a good feeling before the game.
Yep.
I mean, and Bo came in and actually looked really good. So, I mean, I'm not too worried this week if Drew can't play, but, I mean, I just seen... videos of practice, and I think he's like 100% playing.
Dude, he's not missing the game. That's the
like they showed him like just jogging down the middle of the field. Like yeah. You're not jogging down the middle of the field if you actually have something wrong with your knee.
Yeah, he's playing.
Ole Miss -20.5. Ole Miss is freaking terrible. Like, I don't know what's wrong with that offense, but like they're not really explosive at all.
All right. Let's talk about this a little bit. Do you think with the turnover of rosters and the time it takes to actually install a scheme and offenses, do you think that's playing an effect on some of these offenses not being as explosive or playing as good? Because they're like
you mean like getting new coaches?
New coaches. Well, not like the players in the system are new.
Yeah, like. Ohio State, like, when they're getting Will Howard, like, I feel like it kind of, like, throws it off a bit. Like, you only have a summer.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, these teams are actually not practicing that much.
Yeah.
So I think that's why some of the plays down could be wrong, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, like, a lot of these other teams that just get hella transfers, like, it just doesn't work like that.
And there's propaganda on this Ohio State roster, by the way. People think that Ohio State just, like, bought the transfer portal and all.
They only had six. They bought three players.
Yeah, no, they had, I think they got six players in the transfer portal.
Like, three main.
Yeah, but six total. But, like, it's like. These other teams are like they're living in the portal, like 20 players, 25 players.
Like Oregon got a lot. I mean, they're playing fine now, but like that shows you like the beginning of the year they were not clicking.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't have won against Ohio State, but Texas A&M -2.5, which we just talked about. Texas A&M, hell of a comeback win. I mean, they're my wagon in the SEC. I think. They look but like the best team in the SEC right now.
I think from top to bottom, I think they're the best SEC team. I think they're the best overall. I think they play the most complete type of football.
Yeah, like, yeah.
And, yeah, I like that. I mean, we're going to see A&M versus Texas in the next coming week, so.
Yeah, last game of the season, right?
I think it might be before that. I don't know the scheduling, but I know it's obviously in the next couple of weeks because
it's
only a couple of weeks left.
Oh, yeah, true. Miami -20.5. Florida State is just so bad.
It's the thing is, like, this type of season, it is extremely tough to bounce back.
Florida especially State. When you're just bouncing quarterbacks around.
Like, when you have the possibility to go 1-11 following an undefeated regular season last year, they're losing recruits. Like, what's the pitch on Norvell? Like how you like how are you? What's your game plan to keep these recruits committed to you when they?
I'll give you a million.
When you see these other like, because now there's an aspect of I can go somewhere and win. I can get paid. Why go to a place where you lose and then, like, all right, they NIL, but, like, you're still losing. Like, these kids now want to win.
You're also getting hella – like, that's another team that got transfers out the ass.
Yeah, and it's like there's Norvell – all right, so I just – Yahoo Sports actually just put out a good article today on Pitt and Narduzzi on how Narduzzi, like, totally from last year to this year, like the changes he's made. And one of them was on the NIL front. He said, like, he basically told the team, none of you guys are getting paid. this is what he said. He said, our, like, main guy, he's unhappy because you guys just won three games. So, like, say you invest in something and the return is three victories, would you be very happy? And they were like, no. So then he said, like, the people who, like, want, they left. And he's like, good, we need an overhaul. So basically, like, they're not
getting. He kicked all the guys out that weren't bought in.
Yeah. So then they have guys that want to be in. And then they're getting paid. But, like, it's basically return on investment. If they, you know, it's like a.
If they're winning, they're getting paid.
Yeah. It's like. So it's an interesting article. It's a good read. But that's kind of like the. Norvell might have to switch up what he's... The basis of it is Narduzzi was 3-9, realized he needed to change, fired the whole offensive staff, and then brought in new offensive staff, changed completely what he was doing on the NIL front, because he knew he couldn't afford to go 3-9 again. Cause that's,
yeah, he'd be gone, yeah.
Yeah, so... And now Pitt's sitting at 7-0. The word... we'll get into that. All right.
And then I also had Illinois plus 21.5. I mean, that was just over from the start. They had a chance to backdoor cover if they would have just scored. Like, they had, like, two drives where they, if they would have just scored.
Yeah.
And then they drove, and then it just stalled out.
Yeah.
All right. Oregon, I mean, I feel like that was, I should have seen that a mile away.
Yeah.
Texas minus 18.5. I mean, I really thought, like, at the beginning of the game, after Vanderbilt scored right away, but then Texas kind of gained control, like, going into half, and I thought they would just be over from there. But they just do not look good. Like, they don't, like, push the ball down the field at all. And if their run game's not clicking, it just looks like a stale offense.
Yeah, isn't it crazy, you know? Like, Isaiah Bond really hasn't done anything.
No.
Yeah, they really have.
Silas Bolden they got from Oregon State, supposed to be like, you know, like a burner.
Yeah.
He hasn't done shit.
Yeah. I really only watched like the tail end of that game, second half. Because for some reason, YouTube TV always wants to kick me out of my own account. Crazy how that works. So, yeah.
And then I had West Virginia money line. I mean, West Virginia looked great with Nico quarterback. He can actually throw the ball.
Yeah, he has that pocket presence. He kind of steps up.
And he can move, too. Like, it's not like he's, like, that much different from Green, like, running. Like, he can still move.
Yeah, but he's got a better arm.
Yeah, way better arm. I mean, the offense looked actually good.
It's crazy. They almost blew that game in the same exact fashion that they blew the Pitt game. Like, literally, he didn't learn a single fucking thing.
Yeah.
Bro, he didn't learn a single fucking thing. If Arizona had any competent defense, they'd probably lose.
Yeah, they had the ball with what, like 3 minutes left?
Yeah, like it came down to a third down just like it did with the but this time they hit a quick little swing route to Donaldson and he picked it up and that put the icing on the cake. But
yeah, I was gonna kinda, because they dominated that game.
Yeah, they dominated it all the way up to the end.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And obviously, Leslie gets fired 2 days ago.
Does my West Virginia future still have life?
Not a chance. The thing is, all right, dude. All right, the thing is, I hate talking about futures because I have real odds of being on the tail end of a terrible, terrible bad beat here. But, all right, so remember a couple weeks back we did our conference champions, like, mid-season. I think we did it week 6 or something like that. And I, for the Big 12, I put Colorado.
Yeah.
I mean, let's talk about the Buffs real quick. I kind of like what I'm seeing from them.
Yeah, I mean, they look good in a conference that's not good. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, they're beating the teams that they should beat, but the team, like, the tough teams, like the...
They're not going to beat the top
teams. Kansas
State. But they don't have any top teams left.
I know. They just have the bottom feeders. So let's play a little hypothetical right here. Obviously, them not making the conference championship is better for them, I think, because I think if they make the conference championship, they lose.
Depends. I think if they get BYU, they can beat them.
All right. Yeah. Depends the matchup. Correct. But 10-2. You leave your Coach Prime out of the playoff?
I mean, I would. The only
problem is that they got the brakes beat off them at Nebraska early in the season.
Yeah, and they don't really have a marquee win.
Yeah, and their other losses, Kansas State. It's like
they have one team left that's above 500 right now.
I know. Who's it?
Tech next week.
Tech, yeah.
I mean, Utah's 500, Kansas is 2-6, and Oklahoma State's 3-5.
I know. I don't think you could put a 10-2 Colorado team in the playoff, personally.
I wouldn't, but who knows about those guys?
Okay, let's play another hypothetical. 10-2, who's a better team? 10-2 Colorado, 11-1 Pitt. Who's ranked higher?
Pitt.
Pitt's one loss, Clemson.
Yeah, Pitt would definitely be ranked higher.
Dude, whenever we talk about Pitt, I want to bring up some horseshit ESPN published. You know that girl that's on like all those college football shows? We'll just talk about it right now. You know the girl? Sure. I think her name's Heather.
Nah, I don't know. Maybe if you show me like what she looks like.
Heather Dedich.
Yeah, I do.
So you want to hear what she said? She said that, she said, like, Pitt having a win over 0-8, Kansas State, like, neglects, like, what something along those lines. And then about, like, the strength of schedule. According to ESPN, the company that she's employed by, guess what Pitt's strength of record is?
Oh, I just looked. It's like 7 or 8, isn't it?
It's 8. So, like, this, like, hypocrite, fucking, you know what I'm saying, is fucking insane because they're, like, saying all this shit about Pitt, strength of schedule, this, that. They just beat the dog breaks off Syracuse, a 5-1 team.
Yeah. I mean, who else did they beat?
They beat, all right, and then, okay, so, all right, they had Kansas State, a MAC team, who's not very good, Youngstown State, FCS team.
You mean Kent State?
Who did I say?
Kansas State. You were confusing the hell out of me.
Kent State, sorry.
Cal.
But think about it. Their other non-conference games were West Virginia, a Big 12 opponent, and Cincinnati, a Big 12 opponent.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're, like...
Because the thing is, dude, if Pitt... Where Pitt's ranked at, 18. If they lose this weekend to SMU, they're out of the rankings.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They're 7-0 and they're 18. Is SMU out of them?
No, SMU's 20.
Okay.
But we'll get into that.
Like, I don't know how Missouri's still ranked.
Yeah, Missouri hasn't scored, and they're two. Who'd they lose to again? They lost to Alabama, got boat raced. Denver put up a touchdown.
And boat raced against Texas A&M.
Yeah, and but it's like, what are we doing here?
And should have lost to Auburn. I don't know how they came back and won that game.
Should have lost to Vandy. Like, that team should be a 4-loss team easily. It's like,
Illinois probably should have dropped out, too, after that. Beatdown.
Yeah, like Illinois is not a top 20. It's like, well, all right. I'm gonna give you my top 12 teams. If I would rank the top 12, these are my top 12 best teams. This isn't like how this is obviously impossible for the playoff thing. This is just my top 12. Oregon number one. I struggled early. They're clicking now, and you know when you want to click. Late October into November into December. That's when you want to click. And they're clicking right now. Number two, Penn State. Number three, Miami. I mean, how are you going to stop Cam Ward if he throws 4 picks?
Yeah.
I mean, offensive line been getting beat. I mean, their defense is bad, but, I mean, it's Cam Ward's kind of playing really good right now.
The defense has the talent, though, where they could be, like, serviceable.
Yeah. Indiana, I mean, undefeated. They beat the dog breaks off everyone. Just because they're Indiana, I'm not going to rank them low. I'm not going to pull, like, which I'm kind of being a hypocrite here because I'll... You'll see later on. Number five, Ohio State. I mean, hopefully they could just click, but like we've talked about in the past, when shit ain't clicking... It's hard to get it clicking. Number
maybe
six,
just don't got it.
Yeah. Number six, Georgia. Number seven, Texas. Number eight, A&M. I'm a hypocrite here. I just literally said 5 minutes ago that A&M is the best SEC school, and then I have
two ahead of them.
just neglect that. A&M's number six. Georgia's number seven. Texas is number eight. Little spelling mistake there. BYU number nine, undefeated. I mean, what a story they got going on there in Provo, Utah.
Yeah, I can't believe that team's undefeated.
Number 10, Pitt. I mean, if they could just get their offense clicking now, it'd be great. It'd be great, but it's we'll see this week. Number 11, Clemson. And number 12, Iowa State.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to mine. I mean, there's some differences. I think all the same teams, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. My top 12, Oregon 1, Georgia 2. I think, that defense looked like a Georgia defense versus Texas. But maybe Texas is not as good as we think. We'll find out. Because Georgia still has Tennessee and Ole Miss left, right?
Who?
Georgia, they still have Tennessee and Ole Miss left.
Do they?
Don't they? I think so, right? Yeah, they play Florida, Georgia, Ole Miss, Tennessee. Like 3 weeks in a row. Then Penn State at 3. Miami at 4. Ohio State at 5. Then I got Indiana at 6. And then here's where mine differs. I got Clemson at 7. I think they look like one of the top teams in the country. And then Texas A&M at 8. Texas at 9. BYU at 10. Iowa State at 11. And 12, I got Pitt. I also did the same thing you did. I had Georgia at 2, and I said Texas.
Yeah. All right. Let's get in this week, then. There's only... You want to do the gambling first or the... No.
I mean, we they know our picks based on what we're going to say, I guess.
Yeah, we'll get in the gambling after this. All right, Pitt at SMU. SMU is 7.5-point favorites. What the hell is going on? In what world is SMU a touchdown and a half favorite against Pitt? At home, on the road, at a neutral site... On the fucking moon. This should not be 7.5.
Where's this game at?
At SMU.
I thought you said neutral site?
No, I was giving examples. Like in nowhere should this be 7.5. It doesn't matter if it's at home, on a neutral site, away, home.
On the ACC fucking, network?
On the moon. Yeah, on the ACC. Like, what the hell are we doing, dude? The disrespect's real, and the Pitt, I feel like Pitt's playing with a little edge. I feel like they feel the disrespect because Brandon George's linebacker, during his media availability yesterday, he said, yeah, I'm sure it'd be an exciting game for those who have ACC network and can watch.
Yeah, I mean, I think Pitt is going to destroy this team.
Dude, I mean, I'll be honest, this is my first multi-unit play I put it in today. There is, dude, plus 235 on the money line?
Like, yeah, that's crazy.
How am I not going to take that? I mean, I think the linebackers are playing well. Secondary, I think it's the best the secondary played was against Syracuse, getting their head turned around, batting down balls. Defense line was playing good. Didn't see much of the offense. Didn't see much of the offense. Hopefully see that. I mean, keys to victory, obviously, I think, is staying on the field on offense and not going 3-and-out. Keeping Jennings contained. I think I already know Narduzzi's and Bates' game plan. It's to blitz them.
Yeah, I think SMU looks pretty vulnerable in, like, a few of these games.
I mean, they're turning over the ball high. Like, I could see a route here. I could honestly see a route here. I could also see, like, a 48-45, maybe 55-52. I could see points here, too. But I don't know, dude. This Pitt team, I'm telling you right now, you can see it. They're playing with an edge right now. Playing with an edge. And I know SMU's kind of firing. You know, they're putting up a lot of points. They're 7-1 now. But I think they make too many mistakes. And
yeah, I like Pitt in this spot. Like, if I was betting any other game, I would bet them.
Yep.
Oh, I'll buckle my seatbelt.
Here we go. All right. So, let me take
all he has on the outline is Ohio State rant. / Ryan Day.
Let me take a little sip of water here.
Somehow right. I got on like this Ohio State like burner Twitter now.
Oh, dude,
and all I'm seeing is videos of Urban Meyer.
Is it funny as fuck though? Like, isn't like Ohio State Twitter like so talk? Like, it's like,
yeah, it's terrible. It's the worst thing I've ever been on.
It's one of the most toxic like places on earth, I think, is Ohio State Twitter. And I'm not even like saying that as a joke. Like, the Ohio State fan base, like in general, like, doesn't matter if you're on like radio their Twitter, like, it is the most toxic place on planet earth. You got people posting Ryan Day's address after every single game, like like it's a bad place, man.
All I've been seeing is like Urban Meyer videos and JT Barrett videos, and this is what we need. And then like crying faces, like, you guys are 7-6. What are they, 7 or 6-1?
Yeah,
you went on Penn State and you should have won a game at Oregon. It's really not that big of a deal.
The thing is, you'll never be able. The only way that you can satisfy the Ohio State fan base is if you win every single game by, all right. Every single game that you're favored by 35, you win by 56. Every single game that you're favored by like 3.5, 2.5, you win by 14. That's basically how you can sum up the Ohio State fan base. They're one of the most
ungrateful,
hard fan bases to
please.
Please, and it's interesting. It's like, it's weird. All right, like, it's weird. It's weird because you act like Urban didn't drop games at Iowa, at Purdue, Virginia Tech at home, all these other, like, Michigan State in the Big Ten championship game getting your doors blown off. Michigan State at home with one of the most talented rosters that Ohio State's probably ever seen. It's, like, all forgotten.
Yeah.
Like, they forget these. Urban had bad losses, too, but Urban got a ring. But
Ryan Day really hasn't had the bad losses. He just doesn't win a big game.
Yeah, so it's like this trade-off. But it's like Urban got trashed in the fucking playoff.
Yeah.
42-3. Embarrassed on national television. You want to be on Twitter during that? I've been a long-running Twitter member. I remember Twitter back in those days. Like, it's the same shit.
They were probably trying for Trestle.
They were crying for JT Barrett to get benched for Dwayne Haskins.
But I also think like the schematics of the team make it like more Ohio. Like, Urban was more Ohio.
Yeah, because he's from Ohio. He's an Ohio guy. Like, he gets, but, like, Ohio.
Just the way his team played. Like,
yeah. Right. All right. Let's get into it. So, a little background on Ryan Day, because, all right, let's get into this. Under every single like fire Ryan Day tweet, there's someone like saying, "This was just set the program back 5-10 years. Like, who are we gonna get? Who are we gonna get? It doesn't matter who the fuck we get. We can get 85 to 90% of whoever they want, I'd say."
Yeah.
So, a little background on Ryan Day, because people act
Wait. You think like Lane Kiffin would leave for Ohio State?
Yeah, and it's like people act like Ryan Day was like this some like prodigy that like he was like the most sought after like head coach, like he built programs, he done this. So Ryan Day started his coaching career as like a wide receiver coach. He was at Boston College. Then he went to Temple as the OC slash receiver coach. Then back to Boston College as their OC QB coach. Then he went to the NFL as a quarterback coach for the Eagles. Then he went to the 49ers as a QB coach. And then Urban noticed that the offense needed change, brought in Ryan Day as the offensive coordinator and quarterback coach in 2017. And then in 2018. And then in 2019, he was named the head coach. Well, he was named the head coach before the Urban's last game, but against Washington in the Rose Bowl.
But yeah, like, in the heart attack or whatever.
Yeah, but this is his resume right here. Is this like some like prominent like coaching resume?
Nah, I mean, he hasn't done shit other than the COVID.
Temple OC, Boston College OC, quarterback coach in the NFL. And then the whole thing about Day, whenever he came to Ohio State, was he was some quarterback guru. He played quarterback in college at New Hampshire, or where I think it was New Hampshire, wherever the hell he's from. And then, all right, so he's a quarterback prodigy. Okay, whatever. Let's get into Ryan Day now. 2019 was his first year with an Urban Meyer-led roster, right? Completely Urban Meyer. No?
Yeah, it was. They besides, actually had defense.
Besides Fields.
Yeah.
Lost to a close game in overtime. Not in overtime. Lost a close game. I wish it was overtime. No, I don't, I don't know if I wish it was overtime or not. Lost a close game to Clemson.
You should have won that game, yeah.
All right. Remember what you said. Should have won that game. Had the ball in the fourth quarter, driving, with a chance to win the game. Should have won the game. All right. 2020, COVID season, only 6 games. 6-0. Defense was fucking dog water. If you remember, Penix came into the shoe. Obviously no fans. And threw for like 480 yards. It was some it might have been 4-7. It was.
Yeah, I mean, I know he hung 35 or 42.
Yeah, but he threw for like 4-7. It was astronomical. Every Northwestern in the Big Ten championship game, they removed the ball on the defense. But Ryan Day coached with a chip on his shoulder against Clemson, and it was the best like overall game that I think he's coached was that Clemson playoff game in 2020.
Yeah, he was taking shots and running his quarterback.
Yeah. Obviously, Fields ended up, like, cracking
his ribs.
Yeah. And then they get blown out against Alabama in the national championship game, which I don't
know.
By
bubble screens.
By bubble screens and by running tough Borland against Devontae Smith in the slot. all right. Let's go into year number three, 2021. Lost against Oregon at home. An Oregon team with Anthony fucking Brown at quarterback and no Kayvon Thibodeau playing that game. And you know what you lost to? Lost to fucking boundary pitches. Boundary pitches. Whatever. All right. And then you also lost to Michigan. Defense still trash. And then in the Rose Bowl game, you play Utah. And you let a Utah Cam Rising-led team put up 45 points. It was a gunfight.
Yeah,
it was a gunfight. If C.J. Stroud and JSN don't go for 300.
400.
Well, yeah, together they went for 321 or something like that, or whatever it was. You lose in a gunfight to Utah. And key thing,
they lost that game?
No, they won it. I'm saying okay. CJ and JSN don't go off like that, you lose.
Oh, yeah.
Key thing, lost to Michigan. How do you lose? And what was the excuse? You know what the excuse that year was?
That was their Super Bowl?
No. It was like they had like the cold or something.
The cold?
Yeah. No, they had a cold. They had, like, the flu was, like, going around the team or something.
I mean, Michigan ran all over them.
Year four, 2022. Lost to Michigan again. And then this is when you get the the Ryan Day at the press conference. This is when he started doing it. Oh, we're gonna let it fly. We're gonna let it go against Georgia. Which, to his credit, they did. that game they did. They did
until they got in the field goal range.
They did until you forgot one key fact. Ohio State hasn't made a fucking field goal over 50 yards since 2019. They can't find field goal kickers. 2019 was the last time they made a field goal over 50 yards. And I remember watching it was against Northwestern. You know when the last time a kicker made a field goal over 50 yards? Ohio State kicker made a field goal over 50 yards at the shoe. It was like 2009.
Yeah, I mean, how many have they attempted though? A lot?
No, but the point of the matter is, can't find a kicker. And that shouldn't be a problem. I mean, I just seen the guy do, what, a 40-something yard field goal and it missed 17 yards to the right. I'm not. Did that field goal against Nebraska not miss 17 yards to the right?
I didn't have it on until I saw it was that close.
Oh, dude, he missed. I swear to God, that shit missed 17 yards to the right. And then everyone on Twitter was like, "Well, I'm actually glad he missed it because now I know that he wasn't made that shit out of Oregon." So, all right. Where was I at? 2022. All right, and then. I'm going to highlight this. I think year four, 2022, deserves to be highlighted. Because I think this is a key factor in the Ryan Day era. I think what, that's...
Georgia?
Yes. I think that took the soul out of the program a little bit. Not winning anything with CJ, Marv, I think that took the soul out. Year five, 2023, lost to Michigan again. And not only did you lose to Michigan, you played in the worst bowl game I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
Against Missouri. Literally one of the worst football. I deleted out of my memory. One of the worst football games I've ever seen. Now, let me ask you something. 2021, 2022, 2023, how'd you lose to Michigan?
They ran the ball down your throat and then hit the big plays.
So, all right. Was it a, like, when those run games, like, when Michigan started having more success on the run, it was more towards the third and fourth quarters, right?
The third, they blew it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh,
all right. Interesting. We'll save that one for, just remember that, all right? Oh, that's actually my next bullet point. Common themes is the offensive defensive lines, or lack of. The defensive line has been non-existent under the Ryan Day era. I should have pulled the stats on this to see how many sacks they've gotten under the Ryan Day era, but I know it's not a lot.
They can't run the ball either with two great backs. So.
Yes. Offensive line, recruiting, it's taking a toll. There's a lack of fire. There's, like, lack of leadership, lack of accountability among the staff members. I watched Jim Knowles' press conference today. He got asked about the rotation. I'm comfortable with Larry Johnson. So to me, you know what that is? That's him saving his ass, saying that it's not up to him on the, you know, that's kind of like him saying it's.
Yeah,
that,
it's Ryan Day. Yeah.
That's, you know, is that like the wrong assessment of it?
No, I mean, if he's saying that, like, he has no say, that's him basically saying Ryan Day, let's. Him do whatever he wants.
Yeah, and supposedly, according to Twitter comments, is that Ryan Day's made it clear to Jim Knowles, like, Larry can do what Larry, like, can do, wants to do.
I don't get understand why, though. Like, what is he proving?
Yeah, no, sorry. He, like, the Bosa, all right, the Bosa's could have been that anywhere.
Yeah.
Sam Hubbard, Young, but it's like they like Larry Johnson's got to be gone after this year as well. And dude, watch the Jim Knowles thing. It's like he seems checked out too. It's like it was like a weird. It was a weird press conference. Like very weird.
Like they were just down.
He seemed checked out too. It's weird. I'm telling you, something's off. Problem number 100 under Ryan Day. How come the two most vocal leaders are people who've been in the program for 8 months? 9 months?
What, you're saying Caleb Downs?
Caleb Downs and Will Howard.
Yeah.
Where's
JT? Where's Jack Sawyer? Where's, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and, like, people who were at the game, it was an ex-player. He was at the game. He said the sidelines are just dead. Like, there's no juice. There's no, like, people, like, picking people up. It's no, like, accountability. It's no, like, people, like, trying to get fires lit under each other. It's, like, none of that. Which is interesting. Another thing, let's talk about the offensive line. Offensive line coach, Justin Fry, was a groomsman at Ryan Day's wedding. I'm just saying. And the offensive line's underperformed ever since he came in like 2-3 years ago. There's no
development. Yeah, it's insane they can't run the ball with Travion and Judkins.
And, all right, so this is when I get into the development aspect. Ohio State had a guard. He was a guard. I forget his name. He transferred to Washington. He's putting up good stats this year. But he couldn't do that at Ohio State. He couldn't play. What's the denominator there?
Yeah.
I think it's coaching, in my opinion. So Justin Fry's got to be gone after this year. Larry Johnson's got to be gone. And I wouldn't be opposed to Jim Knowles being gone as well.
Well, you just named Chip Kelly head coach?
Well, I didn't say Ryan Day. Ryan Day is not going anywhere. Well, you think Chip's getting off this scotch-free? I got something for him, too. All right. So, lack of rotation in the book. All right. How many snaps do you think Jack Sawyer played this past weekend?
Fuck. Maybe, I would say average, like maybe 80%, 90% for like a good DN.
So he played.
Penn State rotates like a lot.
All right. So I'm going to name these. All right. Jack Sawyer played 65 snaps.
And average is probably like 73 on the side of the ball.
Yeah. So, all right. JT played 58. Caden Curry.
Hold on. Pause it for a sec.
All right. So Jack Sawyer played 65 snaps. All right. JT played 58. Now let's go to. Caden Curry only played 9. Kenate Jackson played 14. See, look, this is a problem. There's no rotation at all.
Yeah, but how many snaps do you 70 some? I think you get about like 70 snaps a game each side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, Caleb Downs played 71.
Yeah.
So, this is like where the common sense is just not common sensing, in my opinion. I think it's pretty common sense that you can't play 95% of the snaps on defense and be fresh whenever it matters the most in the third and the fourth quarter. Am I tripping?
Yeah. No. Yeah, I don't. Penn State rotates like at least once a drive.
That's the key.
Like TJ Watt doesn't even play like.
Yeah,
most, like the it's entire like game.
Fresh legs. Like it's like yeah. Staying fresh. It's like the. It's the
like, there's no way Jack Sawyer and JT like need to be on the field for every single like run play. Like
yeah, I know it's there's no need for it, and it's like a lack of day, like being like, hey, like let's rotate. And he's asked about like the reporters are. I've watched the like he's being asked about it too. So that's a problem. Defense hasn't showed up in a big day, a big game, ever.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of one, like, turnover, one play they made versus, like, Michigan. And I mean, even last year versus Penn State just couldn't score the fucking ball. Like, Ohio State's defense really did nothing. You know what I mean? Like, it was just Penn State's offense being terrible.
And they're playing Jim Knowles $2 million a year.
And yeah, that's a shit ton for a defensive coordinator in college. Yeah,
it's like it's probably the top. So the only time I can think of a defense showing up is the 2020 Clemson game.
Yeah. I mean, even then it was just like, didn't feel like a real season.
Yeah. Chip Kelly, man. I mean, he called one of the most scared games I've ever seen someone call in a long time.
I only watched like the final 6 minutes.
And then he gets asked about running Will Howard, which, what's one of Will Howard's attributes?
Yeah, he's mobile.
And he's like, yeah, but then like, what if he like, yeah, he gets a 20-yard gain, but then he's like, out of the game. Yeah, what? That's the risk you take when you play football. There's a chance to get injured, yeah. Motherfucker. Like that's football. Like, dude,
it's not like you guys don't have good backups too.
Yeah, I know. Like Julian's saying, he's next up. Dude, if Urban had Will Howard, he'd be running Will Howard 25 times a game without a doubt.
He ran JT, who wasn't really like even a runner.
Yeah, no, he ran him like so much. Like, it's like, what are we doing here? Your coach is scared over hypothetical situations of a hypothetical injury that hasn't hypothetically happened.
I think that has to be Day. Because Chip Kelly's always ran his quarterbacks. And what did C.J. Stroud didn't run?
Yeah.
Justin Fields didn't really run until that long game. And what does he do in the NFL? All he does is fucking run.
And it's the trenches. It's everything under Day that's just gone downhill. It's like,
do you think they unleash him this week? Like, do you think they're like?
No, because he said, "Do I think Chips is like? Do I think like I'm just gonna go out there and run Will 20 to 25 times against Penn State? No, probably not.
Maybe they're trying to throw him off.
Fourth quarter's been an issue, which I want to attribute to the thing. The strength and conditioning staff under Manny, whatever the hell his last name is, has been getting quite flack on Twitter. They say it's outdated and our players aren't as conditioned to other players when it comes to the fourth quarter. I don't know if it's the coaching or if it's the strength coaches or if it's maybe that they're playing all the snaps on the defensive side of the ball and that's why they're not fresh and they're getting out-muscled in the fourth. No rotation up front. Let's see. Oh, here. This is my favorite Ryan Day thing. Ryan Day, every single time there's a big game, he says he knows it's going to be a four-quarter thing, and we got to, like, make sure that we win the fourth quarter. You know that, like, horse shit he says?
He said it again this week.
Yeah, I know. And that's when I wrote this down. I'm listening. I'm like, this guy never once says we're going to, like,
just start off fast, like,
like we're going to, like, really put our physicality on this team. They're going to really feel us. Like, you know, we're going to play physical and we're going to make the, you know, it's like, it's not once does he like say like, we're going to out physical this team.
Yeah. He's just kind of like, fourth quarter comes, we got it.
So like also there's been no development under Day. I wanted to ask you a question. Where's that? Oh, it's up here. So, Sam, where are the big games won? How do you win
in the trenches?
Yes. Big games are won in the trenches. You wear down your opponent in the trenches, and then come the third and fourth where Day wants to win, right? Day really wants to win the fourth quarter. That's all he talks about. Make it to the fourth quarter, win the fourth quarter, because he knows it's going to be a four-quarter battle, and he wants to win the fourth. How do you win the fourth? You fucking be physical with quarters 1 through 4, so by the time it's the fourth quarter, you really insert your dominance, and then that's when you take over the game. And you know how
else they don't even like try and establish the run is like the real problem. Like,
and you know, and you know how you win big games? You win the rushing battle as well. And you know how you win the rushing battle? You win the trenches. So it all comes cum la la. And in Michigan, they have not won the rushing battle in the trenches, not won.
And they're not going to win it this year.
and that's troublesome, huh?
But that brings us to the game this week.
With that being said, there is no way in hell Ohio State loses this game. There's no way.
Oh, you can't put that on after you just gassed up Pitt all the
way. there is absolutely no way Ohio State loses this game.
I think Penn State's going to win this game. I think, like we just said, they're going to win in the trenches. Penn State's best part of their team is their defensive line. I think they're going to make Will Howard feel it.
Well, Nebraska made them feel it, so... I mean...
Nebraska's not as good as Penn State's defense.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I just said.
Yeah. And...
We're going to
be able to run the ball.
All right, we'll see. We'll see. Let's get into the James Franklin a little bit. 1-6 versus top 10 opponents at home. 6-9 versus ranked teams at home. 1-8 versus top 5 teams. And 1-9 versus Ohio State off a fluke of a blocked field goal.
You can't call that a fluke in all of your other wins. You just say they're okay.
I'm calling the block a fluke.
Halloween was a fluke.
You can't surrender a big lead and call it a fluke. I could say something happened.
You can't just get a field goal block. Special teams is a part of the game.
See, look, the reason why I'm calling it a fluke isn't because they blocked a field goal. I'm saying
what is
the decision on Urban's part to rush out the field goal unit late. He rushed them out late.
I mean, if you remember, John Reed should have picked the ball like right before that, too.
That's hearsay. Rush off with your field goal kicker who hasn't. Once again, it all comes down to field goal kicking. This guy was a walk-on from the soccer or some weird shit like that. He played soccer at like JMU or something. Somehow ends up at like Ohio State. And then his longest field goal was like whatever. This one was like 46, longest of like the season. Line drive right into the fucking line. And then, if you remember, that same field goal kicker against Michigan almost lost the Michigan game that year. He missed like 3 field goals against
Michigan. Oh, yeah.
And that's why Ohio State went for it on fourth down, not for the win, but because they knew that kicker wasn't making that field goal in overtime.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I'm really nervous about is on defense. I mean, we're more of a man team. Like, if you watch the games, like, they kind of get picked apart when they're in zone.
Now, let's say this. Jeremiah Smith can't go the whole game with 4 targets also.
That's what he had versus Nebraska?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to target him a shit ton because we run a lot of man, and that's the only thing that really scares me. Because, I mean, if we limit Ohio State's explosives... I don't think they can consistently drive the ball on Penn State's defense.
If they had an offensive line, they would go up and down on your defense without a doubt.
Okay, and if we had Jeremiah Smith, you guys would be toast.
Well, I hope you know that you got another five star receiver from Ohio State. His name's Julian Fleming.
And he's gonna score the first touchdown on the first drive.
Yeah, Aller is going to target him, and it's going to get picked, and it's going to go back to the crib.
Julian Fleming legacy game.
Is he going to be able to hold on the ball? It seems like he's been having trouble with some drops. Seems like
Dude, if he catches that ball against Wisconsin, they run. Like, that game's a blowout.
It seems like the only time that he can catch the ball is on fourth down.
Yeah, which is good. He's a clutch player.
Glorified tight end out there. I mean, all right, so Ohio State's -3.5. I took this last week.
You did? It's still 3.5 anyway, so.
Yeah, I took it last week thinking I was doing some mastermind planning. Was not doing mastermind planning. They were What were they against Oregon? 3.5 also?
Yeah.
I mean, the books still have trust in them, but it seems like everyone's picking Penn State that I see.
Really?
Yeah.
I've seen, like, I think everybody's been taking their spread, but they're saying Ohio State's still going to win, but they're taking the points. Like, I haven't really seen anybody say Penn State's going to win.
All right, back to the development thing under Day and Josh, where the hell is his name? Justin Fry. So Josh Simmons tears his ACL against Oregon, right?
Yeah, that's another thing. We have the matchups up front this year. When has that ever happened?
Yeah, I know. Which is not good for Ohio State. So they have this Zen guy behind this Josh guy, right?
Yeah, and he might not be able to play.
Yeah, he got hurt against him. But, dude, it might be better. Like, this guy was getting toasted on every single play against Nebraska.
Yeah.
Like, and this guy's been in the program for 3 years.
I mean, I hope he plays. I hope he's healthy.
Yeah, I'm sure you're sending your best regards to him and hopes he suits up. Also a thing, so Ryan Day got 20 M's this year for his roster.
20 million for what?
Yeah, exactly. So the thing is the boosters and like the collective and the people giving, like, because to just fundraise 20 million in for one season is like,
that's, yeah, a lot. I also think you could say, like, they used it on the wrong things.
Well, you can, all right, Caleb Downs, great. Junkins, great.
Caleb Downs, you needed. Junkins, did you really need?
Yeah.
Will Howard, did you really need?
Yeah.
Build the interior defense. Well,
they got that center from Alabama.
Yeah, they did, who couldn't snap a ball.
No, but he's been great this year. No, supposedly it was Milroe's, like, cadences. That's what was strong.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. He's been great this year. He's been phenomenal. The problem is they knew that you knew that the O-line was a problem and you didn't go out and, like, change anything. And this is the problem is they go after some of these recruits, but they don't offer a lot of offensive linemen. So they put all their eggs in the basket on some of these offensive linemen. They don't commit. They're just left with, like, nothing.
Yeah.
It's just, it's malpractice. And it's like, I could go into Ohio State right now and win 10 games. I guarantee you it.
Yeah, definitely. And with some of the bottom teams in the Big Ten.
I'm not saying, like, I could go out and recruit or anything like that. But with their current roster right now, if you put me in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center and I was able to, like, hire a staff, and just, like, kind of, like,
be, like, just play head coach.
Just, like, you know, helicoptering it around a little bit. Like, I guarantee you I could win 10 games. And that might sound absurd. And it is. But the reason I'm saying that is 10 wins is not the standard at Ohio State. Look at your schedule. You should be able to win 10 games.
Yeah, Penn State has won 10 games.
Yeah, like, 10 games is nothing. I can go win 10 games. You know, if you only win 10 games, that means you're losing your two big games on your schedule that you have.
Yeah. In this case, they have 3 this year.
Exactly. So they might go 9-3.
They're not going to lose to Indiana.
Dude, they might. Dude, Cignetti. Dude, if I was the boosters and Ryan Day dropped Indiana and Michigan, and he finished 9-3, I'd be like, give me Cignetti right now.
Yeah, I don't know if he would leave, but and I love how you just included Michigan instead of Penn State for some odd reason.
Oh, shit, that was totally unintentional. It was just like, I'm so used to Ohio State just beating Penn State. Like, in the last 10 years, I've only seen them lose once, and it was on a fluke fake field goal.
Dude, you can't call it a fluke. Don't call it a fluke.
All right, let me call it
untimely play.
Unlikely play to re-happen if they redid the down.
Okay, and I can say let's go redo two fourth quarters and we have two more wins.
Yeah, but then I'll say that's different because that's 30 minutes.
15.
Third and fourth, 30. I'm talking about one play.
Yeah, I know. And I'm
that they trotted out the field goal kicker last second.
I'm talking about one play, Benjamin Victor, whatever the hell his name was, breaking 80 tackles, going to the end zone.
That's just poor tackling.
That's just poor kicking.
That was those Duane teams were funny, man, because they hung like 60 on Michigan just on drag routes. it was literally just on drag routes and like deep crossers. That was it.
They threw like 55 touchdowns that year.
Yeah, I know, and they were all like yard after the catch. But like their whole comeback against Penn State was the Victor throw and the reception and after the catch and shit. That obviously, but KJ Hill like
that, yeah, those were like eight
those
tackles,
were also
yeah.
like bubble. Those were all bubbles.
Yeah,
man, dude, do I miss those teams? Those teams were fun, man. When Urban was well,
yeah, Urban was still there.
Yeah.
17 was Halloween. 18 was a year after that.
Yeah, Urban was there. He just had to serve a suspension that year. I mean, all right. Let's get into this episode. Has been all over the place. I don't know what I was talking about earlier. If I'm being completely honest,
you're just gone off on round day pretty much the entire time.
Yeah, but I
and then saying there's no way in hell they lose this week.
Dude, I swear, dude, if they lose this week to Penn State, you might as well just like follow those Ohio State burners just so you can like stick up, like you could just like follow what they say, because I'm telling you, it's gonna be a wild place on Twitter. And the thing is, it's not even the burners anymore. It's the beat reporters now, like the actual people putting their face behind it.
Yeah.
They're saying like beat reporters are like, there's just something off about this team. Like they're saying like something's wrong, and I completely agree because like I said earlier, I'm no like professional. I'm no like junkie of like X's and O's, draw up this play, fucking blah blah blah. But when I see a dead football team, I can spot a dead football team from 50 miles away.
Yeah.
And this is,
I mean, if they have no energy, like, I mean, I looked at the play-by-play, and all their drives were basically just three and out.
Dude, I don't think they got a first down till they took the lead against Nebraska in the fourth quarter. And they only got one third down conversion. They were 1-for-11 on third down conversions against Nebraska. Talk about Nebraska, dude. And I didn't expect Ohio State. Hey, if you go back last week, I told you Ohio State was going to come out slow. It's just the M after the bye week. They've been talking about Oregon for two fucking weeks. Get the fuck over it. Focus on this week. And then it's all, it's about action now, not about words. And then you go out and you beat fucking Nebraska by whatever. What was the final score?
21-17.
Yeah, like that is pitiful.
Yeah, a team who just got their soul crushed 56-0.
And I knew that Nebraska was going to come out with some fire. Like, after you get thrashed by Indiana 56-7, like, you're going to come out and not, like, lay down.
Yeah.
But
especially when you have a good head coach.
But when you're Ohio State and you're just so superior to your team, you're supposed to physically outmatch them in the trenches and just that wasn't the case.
Penn State has to start out fast in this game. I think if they start out fast, they could put them away.
I can tell you within the first, each team touches the ball twice, so four total possessions, two possessions each. I can tell you who's going to win the game.
All right. I want you to text me Penn State after first four.
Well, you won't get it because the cell service is terrible up at State College.
They said they got the new Wi-Fi.
If you're in the stadium, you have the Wi-Fi. But I'll be able to tell within the first four total possessions who's going to win the game.
Once Penn State runs the opening kickoff back for a touchdown, then they kick it off, and Ohio State throws a pick six. I mean, you'll know.
Yeah, we'll see. Before we get into our gambling, if you're still listening, I appreciate you. let's get into this. This could be kind of like a coming out like thing for Will Howard in terms of vocal leadership on the sidelines, I think. But
yeah, there's no way that Penn State or Ohio State comes out flat, I don't think.
But this is very interesting to me. Why, when Kyle McCord was at Ohio State, he felt like he couldn't talk? And then he's at Syracuse and he's out here like, I mean, obviously bad example this week because he threw five interceptions. But like weeks prior, like it's like a totally different guy.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just coaching. I don't know.
I mean, I heard something interesting the other week. It said the best teams are usually player-led. Like, there's great leadership within the players, and then those teams become successful. Obviously, the coaching helps, but, like, player-led teams are usually successful. Yeah. When you look, JT was that leader, you know? All right, I'm done talking about this shit.
You're going to start crying.
Dude, okay. Actually, I got one more thing.
There's no way you have one more thing you haven't said.
All right, I'll hold off. Gambling. So I'm 39-25. I got three picks this week. An OSU -3.5. Pitt money line +235. And how could I leave this off the card? Indiana -7.5 at Michigan State.
Yep, I got one play, and that's Penn State money line. Just take it. You'll win money. Put everything you have on it.
We do not condone that. We're not responsible. No, I'm joking. I'm not responsible for gambling losses as well.
I'm not, like, extremely caught. Like, I don't know. It's just such a weird game. In a weird time, I feel like. Like, on paper, I mean, I guess you could say Ohio State should beat the hell out of them, but...
All right, this is breaking news. Ryan Day said it's trending towards Zen McCoskey not being able to play against Penn State. So he declined to say who will start at left tackle. I'll probably be suiting up for the Buckeyes this weekend and playing left tackle because that's how they recruited. Also breaking news. Head coach Pat Narduzzi announced on his radio show tonight that starting quarterback Eli Holstein is good to go against SMU.
Didn't even know he was hurt, to be honest with you.
You know how he got hurt? Up by fucking 40 running the QB read, and he doesn't get out of bounds, and he gets his head driven into the dirt, and he left the game.
Yeah, I'm just watching the Drew's practice, like, throwing. He's going to play.
Yeah, I mean, it's... let's see. Oh, all right. Actually, I want to talk about this, too. Which this is incredibly dumb. Helmet communications during Power 4 college football games this season have been on unencrypted frequencies. That means like anyone can find
on a radio station.
Yeah, that's what unencrypted means because encrypted means hidden, right? And like, so you can't. That is.
No, obviously Michigan hasn't been using it.
Oh, man. So they're saying, so this came because Texas Tech has requested a report from the Big 12 on its recent games against TCU and Baylor.
That's interesting.
To not let Stallions anywhere near the frequencies, because he'll have a field day with that.
Wait till they move to the communication mic and that helmet for high school.
Oh, dude.
He's going to change the game.
He'll be 12-0 or 10-0. I knew I forgot something. How could I end this episode without mentioning an honorable mention of Game of the Week? Do you have any guesses on Game of the Week and possible Player of the Week?
Like, are you saying the Penn State game?
No, I'm saying from last week's slate of games. Do you have any idea
who I'm going to... I don't know what you're talking about.
The New York Nightmare traveled to Monroeville and played the Pittsburgh Outlaws. And the Outlaws came out on top, 26-14. It was they battled. They were down 14-0 early, and they battled hard. So shout out to the Pittsburgh Outlaws.
And yeah, big dub for the guys.
Big dub for the guys. And hopefully they keep it up in I forget what league it is right now in the fall. In the spring, it's the AFL-2 or whatever, or AAL-2. But, fun little arena football to watch as well. But you got anything else to say?
No, that's it.
That's going to wrap us up here. And like I said, there's only two games worth giving a shit about. Pitt at SMU and Ohio State. The Ohio State against... Penn State. We'll catch you guys next week, and we'll break all this shit down once again. Peace.